Yo, what's good? It's JR the Boss Man here from the Boss Man Show, BS3 TV, Believe Network, here bringing you your Braves recap. We're here with your Braves recap for August 7th. The Braves pull it out. They win 8-6. It looked bleak at first for the Braves. It looked very bleak. It started off hot. Drake Baldwin had a home run in the first inning. Little Marcelo Ozuna in the first inning, but second inning, they give up 5 runs. Cookie Carrasco, or Carrasco as you want to call him, gave up 5 runs second inning. But he persevered. Snit mentioned this in the post game. He somehow got through 5 2/3 innings, despite giving up 5 runs. So I talk about him being a veteran and being in situations before, baby, just manage himself, not get too rattled by the 5 innings. And get through that. And it's very important because the Braves are playing 5 games in 4 days. So you don't want to get the bullpen killed. So 5 2/3 innings for Carrasco was big. Not give up any more runs. I gave one more run in the 4th inning to make it 6-2. And it all changed in the field, in the 6th inning there. DeMarco starter was getting a little bit tired. Got some guys on base in front of Drake Baldwin. He had 3-1 homer to right center field, make it 6-5. You got the Braves back in the game. Okay, the starter was out of the game. He went to the Marlins bullpen, struggled and struggled again. 7th inning, gave up some runs, made it 7-6. Added another run, and that another run in there. 7th inning, make it 8-6, and the Braves pulled through. But basically, it was about Drake Baldwin tonight, 5 RBIs for Atlanta Braves, Rookie of the Year candidate. He talked post-game about his approach, about how he just takes the guys in, put behind the plate, how he's just getting studying his film, studying the hitters on both ends, so he can be the best player he can be for Atlanta Braves, the catcher. So, you know, tonight was a good night for the Braves, you know, getting that win. Chris Johnson got the win. I guess he's got the save for the Braves. He's 15 on the year. He's been, the Braves didn't trade Ross Taylor, Graham Casey. So he's been doing a little bit better here, getting his act together for the Braves down the stretch here. So it's a happy night to choose for tonight. It's not one of those downers tonight like it has been. But so, yeah, man, you're just really happy to see that for the Braves to get a win on night one of this 5 games in a 4-day series. Tomorrow is 1 game. But then Saturday is going to be 2 games, Sunday another day game. So a lot of baseball coming. Like I said previously, it was important for Carrasco to get through them innings so you save the bullpen. The bullpen cannot be ran to the ground with these games being so tight. So it's very crucial. Starting pitching eats up innings. And, you know, the Braves can do this with once a week, they'll get a bunch of runs. So we'll see what happens tomorrow because it come out tomorrow and I get nothing. So, but tonight, like I said, Miami starting pitcher gave up 3 home runs, 2 to Baldwin and 1 to Ozuna. And that was that. Then they created runs after that when it wasn't home runs. But if you know, the Braves have been pretty much, offense has been a home run offense, not too much of moving bases around and getting hits in the field. It's more about knocking out the park to get their runs. So tonight, get 3 runs. It wasn't home runs. It's good for the Braves. So we will see what happens from Truist Park tomorrow night as they play the Miami Marlins here in this series. So signing off, Braves recap. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Check out some clips. Today's post-game pressers.
Just look for a good pitch to hit and try to get your best swing off. So do that as many times a game as you can, and hopefully it ends up working out 1 or 2 times.
What do you think's been the key for you to have the success so quickly at this level?
I think a lot of it's just watching the guys, some of the veterans around the team, see how they go about day-to-day things and just how they get their work in, how they get their routines in. And then the coaching staff kind of just keeping you in line. Helps a ton. It's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs. So just trying to stay as level as you can throughout it.
You've been at this level?
I mean, not a ton. You kind of get used to it. throughout the minor league season, more with like playing games every single day. But I mean, you see the guys on TV when they're before, and you think they're like, I mean, they are superstars, but when they're really down to earth people and they want to help you out, and their ultimate goal is to have the team win, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, big night personally, but I mean, to help the team win after kind of a bit of a rough stretch, how nice is that to be able to finally have a night like this?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, especially coming back in a game like that, just kind of gives you, I mean, if you have a couple of those, gives you that confidence when, let's say, you're down by two in the third inning or however, whatever inning. You know that you've done it before and you came back and won games like that.
You've had five or more RBIs in a game. How good does it feel to be that guy to come through in those situations with guys in scoring position over and over, even as a young player?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's just kind of what you dream of as a little kid is getting up to bat in big moments and delivering with guys in scoring position. So, I mean, it says a lot about the guys in front of me as well for being on base there. But yeah, it's just still trying to get a good pitch to hit and putting your best swing on it.
It was your first organization. You know, after that second inning, things were a little bumpy. Can you shed any light on an adjustment or the conversation you guys had after that half inning that kind of got it turned around?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of figure out what he was doing best today. And that was kind of, we started to throw a lot more curveballs, a lot more changeups, and he was executing those really well. And that kind of allowed for like weak contact early. And just ground balls and weak fly balls that he kind of was able to get through those next couple innings quick. I mean, especially with playing these guys five times in 4 days, him going 5 2/3 is huge for our bullpen and keeping them fresh throughout this stretch.
Do you feel like this thing you got going on with Murphy here, the, you know, DH catcher sort of duo, kind of helps you in terms of learning and developing as a rookie?
Yeah, completely. I mean, him and Sandy being here. I got to work with Sandy a little bit last year and Murphy in spring trainings and years before, and just kind of just kept going at the start of this year, and then also when Sandy came up and just learning as much as I can. I mean, they sit down with me in between innings and stuff like that, start talking about pitch calling and stuff like that. So like, it's just having them around and seeing what they do and them helping me, it's super beneficial.
Speaking of veterans, how has the progression been between you two? He's obviously looked a lot better over the last month, 2 months. So what's that been like, catching him a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the run he went on last year. I mean, I was watching on TV and stuff. But you know the pitcher he can be. And I don't know exactly what it was, but it's just been sharper the last couple outings. And he's a lot of fun to catch. I mean, he's able to throw a couple different pitches wherever he wants. So. And he has good stuff, so he's been able to get that stuff back, and he's been executing.
You guys have added Joey and Eric out of the organization. How is preparing to catch those guys differ when you didn't have a spring training with them, or you haven't spent a lot of time with them? How do you try and, I guess, expedite that process to get them going?
Yeah, I mean, just conversations. They've all been huge, and they're super open in talking to us about what they like to do, certain situations where they want to throw a certain pitch in a certain location, and what pitches they have, what's their best stuff. You kind of have to talk to them through it, because when you haven't been back there behind the plate when they're throwing, it's a little bit different than just watching it on video. So, and then it's just continued conversation throughout the game of just what they want to throw, what they like to throw. And I mean, when they get more and more starts in, you just start to get that connection and you start to gel a little better.
A bunch of the pitch on the plate. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's a pretty nice compliment from them. But I'd say I just try to hear what they have to say. I mean, they've been through it all. They've seen it. They faced a lot of these hitters. So I'm trying to learn through them. And if they have an opinion or how they want to attack a hitter, I'm going to go with that, because they've been here. There's a reason why they're here. So I'm going to trust that and then kind of figure out why they do it that way and kind of learn for myself and start to build my own game plans.
Thanks, Drew. Continues to dazzle.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty good evening right there.
You've had a lot of young stars. What makes him different from all those other guys?
I just think the baseball feel. He's a bright kid. He's got a lot of talent. He works extremely hard, and he's a baseball player. I think he can make adjustments on the fly, and he got a good sense of the game, and especially as a catcher. He's a big, strong kid, and so they just got a lot going for him.
You talk about those adjustments. Is it ever easy to forget that this is a rookie and not a 5-year vet at the dish?
Yeah, I said he reminds me of Brian McCann a lot. You know, Matt came up and was the same way. You know, that it was above his years behind the plate and as an offensive player, and Drake's right there with him.
Do you notice anything? Small little things that he does in terms of his preparation, or
no? I mean, he's very consistent in his study, and I know he's always in Cranny's ear about game planning. And he, you know, every time I go by the video room, he's in there, you know, doing his work and breaking hitters down, and which is something that you have to do. And that's a tool and a resource in today's game that you have to use, and he does. And he's just real consistent in his work. I think kind of an even keel. I don't see him ever, the moment being too big or letting things get away from him. I mean, he's got a really good temperament about him. He can keep things, slow the game down really well for a young guy. It's a big thing.
I know it's something you're really concerned about right now, but you feel like that he fits the bill for
something? I think he fits the bill, yeah. He's right there in all the categories for sure. I think at the end of the year, if he keeps going like this, it won't surprise me a bit.
He seems to be pretty humble, too.
Yeah. No, he's a wonderful young man. Just a really good kid. And, you know, I've never met his parents, but I'm sure if I had or I do, I'll understand why. And he's another one, like I said about Eli, he's another one that's really easy to root for.
As far as defense goes, too, I mean, and you kind of saw what the Marlins tonight behind the plate wasn't exactly clean. And when you talk about catcher, sometimes to be a good catcher, notice he's back there. Do you see it?
And that's usually, I've had an old scout that we had here one time say when he went to scout a player, if he didn't remember the catcher, he went back the next day to watch him.
And is that kind of a trick?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't notice a catcher, they're probably doing really, really well.
I know there was a lot with Iggy and Marcel, and if they'd still be around, how nice is it to see them both make big contributions?
It's been great. I mean, I was glad that they were still here because they are two such great teammates and care and work really hard and have meant a lot to us over the years. And so it's nice when, you know, they're high character guys, and you hate to lose those kind of guys because they're great in that room in there. My hope is they both could just finish, you know, as good as they can right now.
I know Carlos has been around for a while, but for him to rebound after that second inning and give you, how hard is it to do that?
You need the poise and the experience that he has in order to do that and never panic. He never panicked. You know, when I looked at him, he wasn't like he was just crazy wild. He was just missing. You know, his stuff was moving a lot, but he stayed with everything. And to get into, you know, 5 2/3 was an awesome feat in itself. And two, just to limit, you know, damage after that and give us a chance to win the game, which we did. So I think probably a guy with his experience and you know, he's been a very successful major leaguer. And, you know, so he didn't panic he just stayed the course and gave us a chance.
Seem like we're in the work in the count. What have you done?
Yeah, no, it's good. You know what? The thing that I liked about him, he's up there swinging. He was giving himself a chance, and he was aggressive. And shoot, that's, you know, he got to hit off Sale this afternoon. But then when he got in the game, you know, he was giving himself a chance because good things happen if you swing. You know, you put the ball in play, and you know he had a big topper single and scored a, I think, go ahead run or tying run, whatever. And he did a nice job. And the versatility is really nice to have a guy like that, too, that can, you know, play all over the diamond. And he's been in the outfield, I think, over 60 games in his pro career. So it's nice to have a guy like that.
Any last questions? Thanks.